జై జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహార గోపీ జన వల్లభ జయ గిరి వరద యశోదానందన భజ జనరందన జమునా పిరాబన చారే జయ జయ రాధా మాధవ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే జాయో రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధే రాధే జయ జయ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధే రాధే జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద 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 జయ ప్రభుపాద సునీతాయ గౌర హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ హరి బోల్ గౌర హరి బోల్ జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పర్వజికాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమల్ శివాంగే ఏసి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పర్వజికాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ శివాంగ్రెస్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృంద కి జయ నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జయ ప్రేమ్ సే కహో శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసతి గౌర భక్త వృంద కీ జయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्ति भवतीं नयस्विते। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। सप्तपाञ्चनगौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। राम राम हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण जय प्रभुपाद की जय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर नंबर 13 एंड टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। एष वै भगवान् साक्षात् आद्यो नारायण पुमान् मोहयन् मायया लोकम् गूढश्चरितवृष्णिषु। एष वै भगवान् साक्षात् आद्यो नारायण पुमान् मोहयन् मायया लोकम् गूढश्चरितवृष्णिषु। एष वै भगवान् साक्षात् आद्यो नारायण पुमान् मोहयन् मायया लोकम् गूढश्चरितवृष्णिषु। जिस
आज Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Sri Krishna is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayana, the supreme enjoyer, but he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vrishni, just like one of us, and he is the bewildering us with his self-created energy. Purport. The Vedic system of acquiring knowledge is the deductive process. The Vedic knowledge is received perfectly by disciplic succession from authorities. Such knowledge is never dogmatic, as ill-conceived by a less intelligent person. The mother is the authority to verify the identity of his father. She is the authority for such confidential knowledge. Therefore, authority is not dogmatic. In the Bhagavad Gita, this truth confirmed in the 4th chapter. Only the false arguer speaker against it. For example, modern spacecraft fly in the sky, and when scientists say that they travel to other side of the moon, men believe these stories blindly, because they have accepted the modern scientists as authorities. The authorities speak and the people in general believe them. But in the case of Vedic truth, they have been taught not to believe. Even if they accept them, they give a different interpretation. Each and every man wants a direct perception of Vedic knowledge, but foolishly they deny it. This means that the misguided man can believe one authority, the scientist, but will reject the authority of the Vedas. The result is that people have degenerated. Here is an authority speaking about Sri Krishna as the original personality of Godhead and the first Narayana. Even such an impersonalist as Shankaracharya has said in the beginning of his commentation on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayana, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation. The universe is one of the material creation, but Narayana is transcendental to such material paraphernalia. Bhishmadev is one of the 12 Mahajanas who knows the principles of transcendental knowledge. His confirmation of Lord Krishna being the original personality of Godhead is also collaborated by the impersonalist Shankar. All other acharyas have also confirmed this statement, and thus there is no chance of not accepting Lord Krishna as the original personality of Godhead. Bhishmadev says that he is the first Narayana. This is also confirmed by Brahmaji in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is the first Narayana. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, there are unlimited numbers of Narayanas who are all the same personality of Godhead and are considered to be the plenary expansion of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The first form of the Lord Krishna expands himself as the form of Baladev, and Baladev expands in so many other forms such as Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, Narayan, Purusha, Rama, Narsingha, as all expansions are one. And the same Vishnu Tattva, Sri Krishna, is the original source of all plenary expansions. He is therefore the direct personality of Godhead. He is the creator of the material world, and he is the predominant deity known as Narayana in all the Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, his moments amongst the human beings are another sort of bewilderment. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita that foolish person considers him to be one of the human beings without knowing the intricacies of his moments. The bewilderment regarding Lord Krishna is due to the action of his twofold internal and external energies upon the third one, called marginal energy. The living entities are expansions of his marginal energy, and thus they are sometimes bewildered by the internal energy and sometimes by the external energy. By internal energetic bewilderment, Sri Krishna expands himself into unlimited numbers of Narayana and exchanges or accepts transcendental loving service from living entities in the transcendental world. And by his external energy's expansion, he incarnates himself in the material world amongst the men, animals or demigods, or re-establishes his forgotten relationship with the living entities in different spaces of life. Great authorities like Bhishma, however, escapes his bewilderment by the mercy of the Lord. Om Agyan Adimaram Dasigyanam. Chakshurun Mil Samjana Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Very beautiful point Prabhupada mentions in the purport. That including Adi Shankaracharya, he also accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in India, we find that this Trinity, Trideva, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesha, there is always confusion. Who is the Supreme? So today is a very auspicious occasion of Mahashivaratri. So we'll try to discuss about these three personalities and especially Lord Mahesha, Shiv Shankar, Bholenath, the glories of Lord Shiva. Today is the day of Shivaratri. On this auspicious day, it is mentioned in the Shastras that Lord Shiva, he enters in all, wherever there is a Shiva Linga, whether it is installed or not. Wherever, whichever place you find a Shiva Linga, Shiva enters in that Linga today. At least for today. So whoever offers any obeisances to Shiva Linga today, they will surely get the mercy of Lord Shiva. And today is the day when Parvati and Lord Shiva, they got married. That is the day of Shivaratri. So on this day of Shivaratri, when Lord Shiva came to Parvatraj Himavan to get married to his daughter Parvati, he was nicely dressed with the beautiful ornaments, nicely dressed, crown and everything. So Narad Muni was puzzled. He said, Lord, my dear Shiva, I never saw you in such attire. Generally, I see your body is covered with a bhasma, ashes from the crematorium, and you have ornaments of snakes. But now you have golden ornaments, golden crown, and beautiful dress. So Shiva was smiling within his mind, heart. So as soon as the marriage was over, and Lord Shiva and Parvati came out of the palace of Himavan, suddenly Shiva transformed, changed his attire. All the clothes disappeared and the ornaments disappeared. And immediately he had his original ornaments of nagas, snakes all over his body, around his neck, around his armlets and bracelets, everywhere, only Shiva, snakes. And then Shiva gave a beautiful smile to Narad Muni. He said, this is my real attire. So Narad Muni comments on that Leela. Although Lord Shiva has all the opulences to his disposal, but he is completely detached from it. Shiva, he has all the mystic powers. He has all the powers. But still, he, as a basic nature, he is a Vairagi, renunciate. He is one of the names called Bhasma Bhuta. Shiva is called Bhasma Bhuta because he always covered over with the ashes of crematorium. And why does he apply that ashes on his body? Because he wants to show to the whole world that this world is temporary and ultimately will all merge into this ashes. So this ashes represent the complete renunciation from this material world and complete renunciation from the material pleasures. Therefore, it is called Bhasma Bhuta. Another name of Shiva is Kapali. He wears around his neck the garland of skulls. And what that represents? It represents that he is not fearful of death. He has conquered the death. Therefore, he wears this garlands of skulls, Kapali. His another name is Jatadhari. He has a matted hair. And his matted hair represents the sky. His another name is Shulapani. He always has a Trishul, trident, in his hands. So that trident represents He has conquered over the three modes of material nature, passion, ignorance, and goodness. Another name is Trilochana. One time Shiva was sitting on a Mount Kailash, and Parvati Mai very lovingly she came behind Shiva, and with her hand she closed both the eyes of Shiva. So she covered both the eyes of Shiva with her hands. So then suddenly everyone saw that there was a complete darkness. The whole world was enveloped with darkness. Because Shiva's eyes represent sun and moon. So when you close the sun and moon, naturally everywhere is darkness. So suddenly Shiva opened his third eye to illuminate the whole world with the sky and with the light and the heat. So that therefore his name is Trilochana. His another name is Nagabhushana. He has armlets, bracelets, and all the ornaments made up of snakes. And that snake represents the fear. Lord Shiva has overcome the fear of this world. Therefore, his name is Nagabhushan. His another name is Rudra. Means one who roars, one who cries loudly. That is Rudra. Another name is Digambara. His dress is a cosmic manifestation. All the four directions are his dress. That is Digambara. His another name is Hara. One who steals away or takes away all the karmic reactions or sinful reactions from all the living entities. His name is Shankara. Shankara means one who gives enjoyment to everyone. That is the meaning of Shankara. His another name is Gangadhar. Lord Shiva, he holds Ganga in his jata. When Bhagirath Maharaj, he requested that Ganga Mai, she has to come to the earth planet, from the heavenly planet. But her force is so strong, the earth cannot bear it. So then Lord Shiva agreed to hold Ganga in his jata, because he knew that his Ganga Jal is not different than Krishna's Charanamrita. His another name is Nataraj. He is the king of all dancers. His another name is Shambhu. Shambhu means that is the foundation or a basic foundation or a shelter for all the activities. His another name is Panchanana. He has a five faces personality is Panchanana. His name is Girisha. He is the king of all mountains or he resides on the mountain. And another beautiful name is Bholenath. Bhola means very innocent. So Shiva is a master of all innocence. He doesn't like politics. Whenever he sees any innocent person, he immediately gives his mercy to that person. His name is Nilakantha. While churning of the ocean, when that halal, that poison came out of the ocean, Lord Shiva drank that whole poison. But Mother Parvati, she caught hold the neck of Shiva so that he should not go in the stomach of Lord Shiva. So his throat became a blue or a black. Therefore his name is Nilakantha. His another name is Pinakin. One who holds the bow named Pinak. His another beautiful name is Niranjan. Niranjan means very, very pure. That is Niranjan. And another name is Somanath. He is the master of Soma. So in this way, actually there are 1008 names of Shiva. So we cannot describe all the names here. So Lord Shiva sits on a tiger skin. So what does that represent? Tiger skin represents the desires, material desires. So when Shiva is sitting on the tiger skin, that means he has conquered all the material desires. Lord Shiva is called Patita Pavana. Patita Pavan means he is the deliverance of all the most fallen people. He loves to deliver all the fallen people. Therefore, we'll find actually Lord Krishna's bhakti, those who are in the mode of goodness, mode of passion and ignorance, they can never perform Krishna bhakti. But there is some basic criteria required, some intelligence, some kind of sadhana, some restrictions, some rules and regulations. So therefore, those who are in ignorance and passion, they can never perform Krishna bhakti. So therefore, Krishna has ordered or requested Shiva to take care of those beings, especially the hobgoblins, ghostly beings, those who cannot even understand what the scriptures means. So Shiva, out of his causeless mercy, is always surrounded by these ghostly beings. He always takes care of them. But because Krishna has told him to stay away from him, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu, don't stay with me Jagannath Puri. You go to Bengal and preach. So in separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in so much of ecstasy, he was just delivering whoever he would meet. So similarly, Lord Shiva is in so much of separation from Lord Krishna, he just go on gives in association to all the hobgoblins and ghostly beings. Therefore, his name is Patita Pavan. Lord Shiva's another name is Ashutosh. Ashutosh means one who becomes easily pleased. Whoever approaches Shiva for any purpose, for any benedictions, Shiva immediately offers that benedictions. You know why? Because Shiva does not want to associate all these people, those who want some material benedictions from him. And therefore, he just wants to get rid from them. So immediately he said, whatever you desire, without even asking me, all the desires are fulfilled. Therefore, is Ashutosha. And one of our devotees, he compares Srila Prabhupada with Lord Shiva. Just like this is a thankless task Lord Shiva is performing. Although he is the purest of all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambho, and why would he not like to be with the Vaishnavas? But he is not allowed. All the Vaishnavas are in one side, and Lord Shiva, although he is the purest of all Vaishnavas, but he is always surrounded by hobgoblins and ghostly beings. So similarly, when Prabhupada was leaving Vrindavan to the west, he remembers that all his god brothers, they are celebrating Janmashtami in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, and all the holy places. And Prabhupada was surrounded by all the ghostly beings. The Western world people were almost like ghostly beings. So, Prabhupada was a Patit Pavana. And very beautiful. We heard that story, Bhrigumuni, he wanted to check whether who is the supreme, either Shiva, Vishnu or Mahesha. And then the final conclusion was, even though Shiva, Bhrigu, he kicked on the chest of Lord Vishnu, but still Lord Vishnu didn't say anything to him. And Shiva became angry. That is the version we heard. But actually, Shiva did not become angry. He just wanted to glorify Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he acted like that. He showed it to Bhrigumuni that I have become angry. This is according to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he showed it like as I am become angry. He is such a tolerant personality. He is so merciful. He is so compassionate. Even Daksha, he chastised, he criticized Shiva. But still Lord Shiva, he simply tolerated. He didn't see even a one word to him. So why would he become angry to Bhrigu Rishi? So therefore, that also just to show Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he became angry. So one of the very, very important subject is, what is Shivalinga? Many times, practically everyone misunderstands Shivalinga. So I just went on the internet to find out what is the opinion of people about Shivalinga. And all those so-called scholars and educated people, their opinion is, one person is from Odisha. He is such an envious fellow. He writes in his book that all the Indians, the Hindus, they have long been embarrassed by the sensual representation of Shiva, Shivalinga, is actually embarrassment for Hindus that he writes in his book. One of the Christian lady, she says that we, in our culture, in our tradition, in our religion, we don't worship a linga or a phallus or some personality. But you people, and then she says that, you know, all the Hindus, they are tribals, jungle dwellers. 4,000 years ago, they were dwelling in the jungles, and recently they have been become civilized. So that is their understanding. So, actually, Shivalinga looks like a phallus of a person, but actually it is not. Some people say that it is Shivalinga is Shiva and Parvati, their love making. That is Shivalinga. That is a Kali Yuga people. Unfortunately, their minds are so nasty. Their mind will dwell only eating stool. Whenever they see something, they will immediately go to only that point. Sensual thing. So Shivalinga also, according to them, is just male and female's phallus. But our Shastra says, actually those who write such things in their book, they are also well aware about the sanctity of our religion and sanctity of our Shivalinga. But because they are so much of envious, and therefore deliberately they vomit such obnoxious words and criticizing Lord Shiva. So I read one or two Puranas. In Shiva Purana and also Linga Purana, there are some stories mentioned about Shivalinga. What is the history? What is the origin of Shivalinga? But those Shastras are in mode of ignorance. Linga Purana and Shiva Purana, they are all in mode of ignorance. So even if someone thinks that Shivalinga or a phallus is actually a phallus of a human being or a god, just try to understand the explanation given in the Linga Purana. It says that Bhargava Rishi, Angira Rishi and other Rishis, they become angry at Lord Shiva and they curse Lord Shiva. And immediately Lord Shiva's palace fell down. Okay, what is next? As soon as Shiva's palace fell on the ground, the whole earth broke into pieces. And that palace reached to Patala planet. Is it an ordinary phenomenon? Is it an ordinary thing? Someone's palace fell down on the ground and whole earth was torn into pieces and whole universe shook. That means, and then some gods, they tried to see the beginning and the end of the palace, but they could not see the beginning and the end. That's the unending thing. So, even if we read some explanation in the Shastra, we must understand this is all a symbolic representation. Shivalinga is a symbolic representation of creation or Shivalinga is a symbolic representation of masculine and feminine energy. Otherwise, how will you understand? This palace is unending. But still I was thinking, why there are such descriptions given in the Shastras? It is so bewildering. So many, whoever reads this, they will become bewildered. Then I read the commentary of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami beautifully writes, why such descriptions are there in these lower scriptures? You won't find it in Puranas who are in a mode of goodness, only in ignorance. Then Jiva Goswami writes that these people, they don't deserve higher knowledge. Because they bear sinful desires in their heart
And therefore, even if you try to give them the pure thing, they will never digest it. And because of the sinful desires, they want such kind of knowledge. Jiva Goswami writes this. Because of their sinful desires, they want such kind of knowledge, and therefore to fulfill their desires, Krishna creates this material world so that you can fulfill your material desires. And the scriptures are also exactly according to your desires. So this mode of ignorance scriptures, they have some kind of this kind of knowledge, you know, this palace and this, that. But actually, the actual meaning of Shivalinga is, Jiva Goswami writes in another purport, in the commentary of Shat Sandarbhar, he says that when Mahavishnu glances over the material nature, through that glance, Lord Shiva is in contact with the material energy. That glance over the material energy, that is Shivalinga. That is a representation of Krishna's energy. So, at the beginning, in the spiritual world, there is no physical activities. Like there is no interaction between male and female. That physical relationship, it is not present in the Vaikuntha or a spiritual world. Only after Shiva, from Shiva, all this physical interaction begins. Because Shiva is now first time interacting with the material nature. After Shiva, all the gods, Brahma, Indra, Varuna, and all the gods, up to now, insects in the ground, or crawling on the land. Everyone is indulged into that physical male and female relationship. But you will never find any description about Vishnu, or Krishna, or Narayana, or Rama, or any avatar indulging in that activity. No scripture mentions. But sometimes you may say, yes, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kubja had a material desire. She wanted to fulfill material desires through Krishna. Bhagavatam explains that simply by embrace Krishna fulfilled the desire of Kubja. Krishna had 10 sons and 1 daughter through all his 16,108 wives. All the children were born simply by embrace and no other physical activity or physical relationship. But the first time in the creation, this activity begins from Shiva. Shiva, Parvati, and then because they are the original parents of all the Jiva. So now tell me, when any ordinary man takes birth through his parents, do we condemn that activity? Whenever a child is born in someone's house, any time, even in the dream, did you condemn that activity? Everyone rejoices, everyone becomes happy. Oh, the son is born, the daughter is born in such and such family. The parents are so glorious. An ordinary child's birth is so glorious. And here the original parents, from them the whole creation is beginning now. And that is condemned. It is purely shows we are so envious. So, actually, there is no need of even Shiva and Parvati to come together. Just to fulfill the desires, vicious desires of living entity, therefore Krishna has to play the whole game. There is no need of material creation also. Because we all had that material desires in our heart, and therefore Krishna, he expands into Vishnu first, and then Vishnu expands as a Sadashiv, and Sadashiv again expands as Shiva. Sadashiv, he has his own planet that is just below the spiritual world, but that is not a part of material world. That is also eternal spiritual world. Sadashiv Loka is also eternal spiritual world. And one of our Acharya writes There's all the Shiva devotees, those who are residing on a Sadashiva planet, they're almost all of them are pure devotees of Krishna. They're all liberated souls. But in this material creation, when the Sadashiva comes as a Shiva, then he is surrounded by all the ghostly beings. So here on this Kailash, he is surrounded by all these ghostly beings, those who cannot perform any bhakti or any spiritual activity. So, our scriptures, why there are some scriptures in the mode of ignorance and some are in the mode of passion and some are in the goodness? One time Prabhupada, he was talking to his devotees, some devotees, and he narrated this pastime. One time Shiva and Parvati, they were walking on the road, but they were disguised as an ordinary man and woman. Nobody could understand them, recognize them. So there was one poor beggar sitting on the street, begging for some alms or some food. And then Parvati Mai became so merciful, and she said, "My dear Shiva, why don't you give some bakshis or some charity to him?" Then Shiva said, "There is no point in giving him some charity, because he will not appreciate it." And Parvati said, "How is that?" Shiva said, "Okay, let us see." So Shiva took one watermelon. This is Prabhupada told the story. Shiva took a watermelon and he placed some thousands and thousands of rupees into the watermelon and gave it to the beggar. "This is for you." He said, "What will I do with this watermelon?" And then he saw one other person walking on the road. He said, "Okay, will you purchase this watermelon from me?" He said, "Okay." He gave him 5 rupees and purchased the watermelon and left. So Prabhupada told this story, although Krishna wants to give blessings, Lord Shiva wants to give his blessings to us, but sometimes we are so unfortunate that we don't even understand the blessings of Shiva. And therefore, we'll find all the scriptures are available. Those who are in the mode of goodness, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, above all the three modes. But nobody takes advantage of that. So therefore, whatever they can appreciate to fulfill their material desires, therefore, Lord Shiva, he provides all the facilities to them. So how these living entities are impregnated in this world? Through Shiva Linga. Sa ikshataha, means simply by his glance, he impregnates the material nature and all the jivas are born. Shiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yogat. Vishesha vikara vishesha yogat means absolutely there is no difference between Shiva and Krishna or a Vishnu. They are the same personality. But because there is a vikara, there is the adding of acid or a culture or a dahi or a curd. And therefore that milk is has become now the curd. Shiva is touched by the three modes. Shiva is not affected by the three modes. This passion, ignorance and goodness. Shiva is not affected by the three modes, but he surely is touched by the three modes. And therefore, that milk has become the curd. And Jiva Goswami beautifully writes, amazing. Suta Goswami was giving his classes, and all the rishis, Shaunakadi rishis, they are asking questions. At one point of time, they come to such a level, they start discussing about Shiva Linga and all these things. So little, Suta Goswami says, although this knowledge is not exactly connected to a living entity, but still since you have asked the question, I will answer. Then Jiva Goswami says, those scriptures who are in the ignorance and passion, they are not directly connected to living entities and Jiva and Krishna because there is no knowledge of Sambandha, Avideya and Prayojan. In mode of ignorance and mode of passion Puranas, you will never find these three aspects of Sambandha, Avideya and Prayojan.
Now we'll see what are the services Shiva performs for Krishna or for the, all the Vaishnavas. Shiva is one of the 12 Mahajanas and he is also a Dham protector. Like in Vrindavan we have, in Mathura we have Bhuteshwar Mahadev, at Govardhan Chakleshwar Mahadev, in Nandagaon, Kamyavan Kameshwar Mahadev and Vrindavan Gopeshwar Mahadev. In this way, Lord Shiva protects the Dham of Lord Krishna. In Nandagaon, Lord Shiva, he wanted to do special seva for Krishna. So he requested Krishna, please allow me to take form as a mountain so that all your devotees, they will place their lotus feet on my head and I will get the dust of their feet. So he has become now expanded as a Nandeshwar mountain. Now all the Nandagaon village is established on that mountain. It is mentioned that at Rudradvip, Lord Shiva came in the dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he told him that your eternal form in the spiritual world, you are the Kamal Manjari in the spiritual world. Lord Shiva also appeared in this world as Advaita Acharya to Sir Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he is so compassionate, by his mercy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared in this world. During the Rasalila, Lord Shiva, he wanted to take part in the Rasalila. But because being a mean male body, he was not allowed. So Yogamaya told Shiva, no problem, you take bath in Mansarovar. So after taking bath in Mansarovar, Shiva became a female gopi. And then Yamunamai personally handed over all the jewels and clothes to Gopi Shankara. And then, amazing, not only Shiva is serving Krishna, but his whole family is serving Krishna. Like Parvati, Gauri, Kali. In Vrindavan, Shivaji has his own role to perform in Krishna's Leela. And Katyayani Devi. All the gopis, they worship Katyayani so that they will get Krishna as their husband. One time at near Sankarsan Kund, around Govardhan Parikrama, there is one kund. It's called Gauri Kund. So every day Sri Radha and all the gopis, they would go to worship Gauri Devi. And Krishna would come to meet all of them. So one day suddenly Jatila and Kutila, the sister-in-law and the mother-in-law of Radharani, they came to know that Sri Radha is with Krishna at Gauri temple. So they came over there. As soon as Gauri, Jatila entered in the temple hall, Krishna immediately merged in the body of Gauri, Gauri Devi. And then, as a Gauri Devi, he started shouting and chastising at Jatila. So in this way, Gauri Devi cooperated in Krishna's Leela. Even Ganesha, his son, Shiva's son, he also plays a very intimate role in Krishna's service. At Jamuna Ghat, there is one specific ghat, his name is Vignesh Ghat. All the gopis, they worship Ganapati, Ganesha, to remove all the obstacles from their path of meeting Krishna. And because the whole family is completely busy and engaged in Krishna's service, therefore there are no problems in their life. Just like, you know, Shiva's career is bull, and Durga Mata, Durga Devi's career is lion. All of them are sitting together, huh? Like Shiva is sitting here, Parvati is sitting there, and next to Shiva is a bull, and next to Maya, the Gauri Maya is a lion. So lion is looking at a bull. But because his whole family is in the service of Krishna, therefore there is no enmity between a lion and a bull. And Kartikeya's carrier is peacock and Ganesha's carrier is rat. They are all sitting over there. But still there is no enmity. They have friendship. So similarly, when we engage ourselves and whole family in Krishna's service, then all our animalistic propensities,
that animalistic nature becomes purified and we happily become engaged in Krishna's service. Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that Nanda Maharaj and all the Brajavasis, one time they wanted to celebrate Shivaratri. So they went to Ambikavan. Very beautiful point. So they went to Ambikavan, they celebrated Shivaratri and they came back. And what was the result? Their attachment to Krishna increased more. So Prabhupada said, this is the criteria. You can worship anyone, any god. But by doing that seva or worship, your attraction for Krishna should increase. Just like the gopis, they would worship Surya, sun god. They would worship Shiva, they would worship Katyayani. But their only goal was to please Krishna. One time Prabhupada went to Chennai and there was one person from one mission. We will not mention the name of that person. So then, before Prabhupada went to Chennai, he had a big arguments and fight with Giriraj Swami Maharaj. So Giriraj Maharaj was saying that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this person was saying that Shiva is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this argument became very heated, and afterwards he said, okay, let my Guru Maharaj Prabhupada come and then you have to talk with him. So Prabhupada went there. Again this person came with the same arguments. Then at this time Prabhupada didn't argue with him. He just said that, tell me the difference between puja and bhakti. Prabhupada asked him a simple question. What is the difference between puja and bhakti? So he didn't say anything. Then Prabhupada said, puja means worshipping any god with some material motive. You want some material benedictions, that is called puja. But bhakti means we just want to serve Krishna or God simply out of love and affection. There is no material motivation behind that. We don't want anything from that. But generally, people go to any god with some material motives. Therefore, it is called puja. But bhakti means with no material motivations. But then he understood this part. But then he asked, but Swamiji, is it not possible to worship a demigod with bhakti? Prabhupada said, yes, it is possible, but it is very rare. And then Prabhupada gave another example. Just like, you know, when you see someone going to liquor shop or bar shop, generally what we think, any person is going to liquor shop means he is going to purchase some liquor, isn't it? No one will go, like, you know, just to see what is there inside. Anyone is approaching a liquor shop means he wants to purchase some liquor. So similarly, puja means when you are approaching any demigod, that means you want some material benediction. There are some exceptional cases, but that is very rare. Those who are worshipping demigods still has, those who are worshipping demigods but still have no material motives, such people are very rare. So, one time there was one devotee, Malhotra. Then he said, Prabhupada, who is greater? Shiva or Vishnu or Krishna? And then Prabhupada gave different answers. Prabhupada said, people like you and me, we are so stupid, we try to discuss who is superior. But between Krishna and Shiva, there is a competition. Who will serve more the other person? Shiva is trying his best to prove how Krishna or Rama or Vishnu, he is superior. He is better than me. And Vishnu or Rama or Krishna, he is trying to prove and try to serve Shiva in a way so that he will get more glories. Just like when that halahal poison came out of the ocean, Krishna could have drank it. But he said, go to Shiva, approach him. He will drink the poison. So that he will get the credit. He will become more famous. Lord Ram worshipped Shivalinga at Rameshwar. Now Narad Muni is confused. Narad Muni is going to Shiva and he is asking him, "My dear Shiva, tell me who is superior. Ram is worshipping you at Rameshwaram. That means you are superior." And then Shiva was sitting in this position and he had his mala. And then he said, "Narad Muni, do you know what I am chanting?" He said, "I am chanting Lord Rama's name." Ram, 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 Ram. So those who are, like, you know, they don't know, have any knowledge, they simply argue, who is superior? But among this, because Vaishnavanam yatha shambho, Krishna, he loves to serve his devotees. And Shiva also in reciprocation, he also wants to serve. So, one time one person asked a question to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. You said that Krishna announced, those who serve my devotees, I will be more pleased to them. More, you know, rather than serving me, if you serve my devotees, I will become more pleased to you, pleased with you. He said, okay, Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, so I will worship him, so that Krishna will become more pleased with me. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, what answer I will give to him now? Prabhupada said, absolutely there is no problem. Let him serve Shiva as a devotee of Krishna. If he considers Shiva as independent from Krishna, then there is a problem. If you worship Shiva as a devotee of Krishna, it's perfectly all right. Another time, one disciple of Prabhupada, he came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, there is one person, he wants to chant only Om Namah Shivaya. Prabhupada says, perfectly all right. Let him chant Om Namah Shivaya. Because at Varanasi, it is natural. There will be, like, you know, whoever is now there in this material world, 98% or 99% public is in the mode of ignorance and passion. So therefore, whatever is a comfortable method for them to worship any god, let them do it. And slowly, slowly, if they are really genuine and sincere in their service to any demigods, like Shiva, whoever chants Shiva's holy name sincerely, at the time of death, Shiva chants Lord Rama's name in the ear of that devotee. When he is dying, in his ear, Shiva chants Lord Rama's name so that his journey begins. In the next life or next to next that life, he again becomes a devotee of Krishna. Just like, you know, we also have some Agya Sukriti process, giving prasad, giving books or holy name. And not necessarily that everyone becomes a devotee in the same lifetime. It may take, you know, many lifetimes also for them to become a devotee. So, there is one more controversial point. Does Shiva smoke ganja? Does Shiva smoke weed? Shiva ganja pite hai kya? Bhang pite hai kya? I saw one video, this song became so famous. The singer has sung the song and his Shiva is asking Parvati, last 1 hour I have been waiting for you and you have not made my bhang ready. Abhi tak meri bhang ready nahi, ek ghante se wait kar raha hu main. And that song has become so famous now. Because Shivratri is now. Does Shiva smoke weed or ganja or bhang? Nowhere in the scripture, nowhere, whether it's a Linga Puran, any Puran, you will never find any description where Shiva is smoking ganja, or Shiva is smoking weed, or Shiva drinking bhang. Nowhere. But sometimes we misunderstand whenever we see Indra with some glass of wine, and this is somras, somras, somras. But that somras has nothing to do with anything about the liquor of this world. Somras is completely different liquid. And this material world's intoxications,
like, you know, bhang or any liquor is completely different.
So even if Shiva is taking some medicinal herbs or smoking something or drinking some heavenly beverage, that is not a bhang or a ganja. You at least scriptural, there are no evidences. But people, you know, they love, they like this, all these things. So therefore, one person, whenever someone says that, okay, Shiva is drinking ganja or smoking weed, fine. So everyone accepts blindly because everyone wants to fulfill their desires. And in the name of Shiva, it becomes very easy. So, I'll finish it in 2-3 minutes. One time, Parvati Mai, she was chanting Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu. And Shiva became very hungry. He wanted to eat something. So he called Parvati, please sit with me. Both of us will take prasad together. But Parvati Mai said, I am chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. It will take a little time for completing this. Shiva said, I am very hungry. But she was continuing chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. Then Shiva said, you want to chant 1,000 names of Vishnu? I'll give you one secret mantra. Chant Ram. Only Ram. And she said Ram. And then Shiva said, now this one name of Ram is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. Okay? Now sit with me. So, Ram Rame Rameti Rame Rame Manorame. So, Lord Shiva said, Lord Ram is my favorite name. So, you also chant this Ram so that it will be like, you know, equivalent to Vishnu Sahasranam. And Lord Shiva has a special, special affection for Krishna and Sri Radha in Vrindavan Dham. And therefore, Shiva has composed Radha Kripa Kataksha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed Shivastakam. Like Murari Gupta in his diary, he writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he would visit Shiva temple, he would recite Shivastakam. And in return, Shiva Shankar Bholenath, he composed Radha Kripa Kataksha. What an amazing song. One of the stanza explains Ananta Koti Vishnu Lokam Namra Padma Jarshite Himadrija Pulomaja Viranchaja Vara Prade Aparasi Didi Didigdha Sat Padanguli Nakhe Kada Karishasi Hamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. My boy is sitting here. He only composed the music for Radha Kripa Kataksha for my song. Thank you. So Lord Shiva, he explains, now he has composed Radha Kripa Kataksha and he is reciting this Radha Kripa Kataksha to his wife Parvati. And what the sloka explains is all these planets, hundreds and thousands and millions of planets are created by Lord Vishnu, Krishna, and the goddesses like Lakshmi, Saraswati, Sachi, wife of Indra Sachi, and yourself Parvati. All of you have all the mystic powers. And how do you get those mystic powers? From Nakangule, from the toenails of Sri Radha. Not even from the hands, from the toenails of Sri Radha. Such a humble personality, isn't it? Even Parvati Mai also is such a humble personality. She accepted it. Just imagine, Her husband is telling that whatever powers you have, whatever beauty you have, it is coming from Sri Radha. And not even coming from Sri Radha, it is coming from the toenails of Sri Radha. And Parvati Maya is in ecstasy. This is the glory of this whole family. Lord Shiva, Parvati, Ganesha and Kartikeya. Very beautiful family. Although Vaishnavas, they keep a little distance from them, but they are doing this thankless task for Lord Krishna. So today is a very auspicious day of Shivaratri. Prabhupada said, Ekada. Ekada means once in a year we can worship Shiva, remember him, offer our pranams to him, and remember his pastimes. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.